How should Christians engage with politics? How should we respond in an age full of uncertainty and not knowing what's next? And how does the supremacy of Christ fit in with all of this? My name is Brad, and welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast, where we want to have conversations here to help you better engage with God, His Word, and the culture around us. And the culture right now seems to be very dominated with conversation around the Charlie Kirk assassination, and what should we do as Christians now in this time where things feel very uncertain? How should we respond? Should we fight? Should we fear? Should we flee? What does this all have to do for us Christians? And joining me today is the wise Pastor Rob to answer all your questions on this topic.
I think it's such a hard time to be a Christian in a culture that is struggling so much. So I think this is a great topic. And I think some, as you have said, Brad, you wanted us to do this as a kind of a in-between and release it during this time so that Christians know how to respond to what is a, well, probably more for Americans, but certainly for Canadians as well, an intense cultural moment.
And the purpose of this is not to give as much opinion as far as how should we look biblically, how to respond to something like this, and how should we have confidence in our great God. So, Pastor Rob, what do you think is the way where Christians should be responding to something tragic or a tragedy, not just specifically this event, but any tragedy that happens in our lives? What should we be looking at?
I think because we live in a fallen world that's broken, we need to be aware of what is happening around us. And there is a weight to it, a heaviness. And anytime a political leader or public figure is assassinated, it strikes at the very heart fabric of the nation. It's a difficult thing. It's not just about one person. It's not just about what's going on, but really shows the brokenness, the fragileness, the intensity of hatred that's underneath the surface, really on all sides, but here directed against someone who was representing Jesus, or at least seeking to do that at his rallies. And I think we must remember that our first response cannot be fear. Fear grips, and fear really paralyzes us. It causes us to not only be afraid, but then angry, and in that anger often put our hope in human systems or strong leaders or hatred towards those who disagree with us or are on a different side. And I love Isaiah 41 verse 10, which follows that supremacy of God in all things and the fact that he will give us strength in the midst of brokenness and despair when we wait on him. Isaiah 41:10 says this, and I think, again, a very good verse in times like this, although I suppose all times: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I mean, that's a promise that is powerful. Our Lord rules sovereignly over history. So don't be afraid. And then furthermore, I would say, keep your eyes fixated on God. I love Isaiah 6. "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted." Well, what happened when King Uzziah died? Well, there's a good king who died. That means everything's coming to an end. Now you got a bad king. Now everything's in crisis. Now there's chaos. "In the year there was earthly chaos, Isaiah saw the Lord, and everything else disappeared." Truly, everything else disappeared. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I think the fear not is so important, but also a fixation with the greatness and glory and splendor and holiness of God. Because when we see that, instead of being angry or fearful, we say with Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Mm-hmm. Put me on mission for God and his glory. So I think in the midst of any brokenness you're going through, but especially when the world around us seems to be shaking, and it does appear now to be shaking, don't be afraid and be fixated on the greatness and glory and holiness of God. And then in the overflow of that will be, "Here I am, send me." And even for Isaiah, it's going to be a chaotic world. Nobody's going to listen to you. Maybe that will be for us. We will go, and we will serve, and we will point people to the glory of God, the goodness of the gospel, and just the privilege of being his servants in a world that doesn't know him or is falling apart.
Mm. So that's the fear side of things. But kind of on the other end of the pendulum, there is this fight side, where when we see tragedy happen, there can be a desire as Christians to fight, maybe through a politically charged movement or just our zeal for wanting to stand up for what is right? And so how should Christians respond with our zeal, our desire to fight in a situation that maybe has tragedy in it as well?
You know, I think it's a great question, and probably every situation needs to be addressed individually. I think what you're really asking is, what's the engagement we should have as a church in politics? Should we play in politics at all? Should we withdraw from the world, or should we engage in a worldly manner? And I think if the question is specifically, how do we play in the politics game? How do we fight in the politics game? I think we have to be engaged, and I think we have to be disengaged, or at least not distracted from our primary mission. So the church engages in the world and in situations in the world because we are called to be salt and light. We're called to be great citizens. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. So we don't retreat in silence. We don't disappear. We don't join a monastery. We don't run in fear and withdraw. We care about justice. We care about the sanctity of life from the womb to the tomb. We care about freedom to worship and delight in God. We care about the moral order as God has revealed it. We care about marriages. We speak to these issues because God speaks to them, but they're not our primary focus. So if you said to me, how do we engage as a church? We have to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to care about those things. But we also need to be aware that we are not a political organization. We don't baptize political parties. We don't confuse the kingdom of God with the kingdoms of this world. Because if we become a political movement, we lose our primary focus. We lose our witness. I think Baptists have handled this well in history, the separation of church and state. We've had that. It's actually in our statement of faith. And the idea behind that is not that we shouldn't engage, not that Christians shouldn't be in politics, but rather we don't want the church to control the government. We don't want the government to control the church. And we want to keep the mission of the church centered on Christ. The state has a place. The church has a place. Both are under God. We don't want them to overlap. Listen, one of the interesting things is that there's been a whole move with what happened to Charlie Kirk on the internet for shaming churches that didn't talk about Charlie Kirk on Sunday. I don't want to evaluate whether talking about Charlie Kirk was a good thing or a bad thing. I think there's reasons you could go either way as a pastor. But let me say this. We need to have the courage as pastors to talk about Christ and him crucified. And if Charlie Kirk is with Christ, and I believe he is, at least from what I know, I think he was an authentic Christian, then he would say with John the Baptist, may he increase, God increase, and I decrease. He would want us talking about Jesus and the gospel, not talking about him. So I think to remember, what's our primary focus? Jesus. What's our primary purpose? The gospel, the spread of the gospel, the building of the church. And what's the process by which we get that done? And the answer is revival or submission to the king or being a healthy church, back to what we talked about previously. So I think we have to remember when Jesus was here on earth, his political engagement was zero. And I know there's some, you know, say, well, he made coins, and there's some that say, well, he did talk to Herod a little bit, and he certainly talked to Pilate. But Jesus' message was much more, my kingdom is not of this world, than it was, let's engage in the politics of this world.
Yeah.
And if Jesus wanted to take over Rome, he could have blinked and taken over Rome. And you also look at the apostles who wrote right after, the same thing. There is not a political engagement. There is a passion for Jesus, the supremacy of Jesus in all things, the glory of God. And the process to get that is healthy churches not overtaking the political world. In the world, but not of the world. Mm-hmm. Passion for the supremacy of Jesus, not for political takeover.
For a lot of people, though, they may think that politics is the space where change can actually happen, or where those conversations are already happening. And so that's where the Christians need to be so that we can bring about the change or the standards that God has. And so just touch on that. What does that actually mean for Christians? Is that a space we should be in? What does that look like?
I love that question. I definitely think that politics is a space that Christians should be in. And encourage you, if you have been thinking about going into politics as a Christian, that you do so. It is very difficult to be a Christian in politics because of the pressures that are put on you. But I believe there are some that do it well. So yes, Christians should be involved in the world, but not of the world. However, the church should not. And what I mean by that is we should be those who are not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, not politics or policies, but the gospel and the gospel alone. When we forget this and we put our trust in politics or our Messiah is anyone other than Jesus, I actually think we commit idolatry. I actually think we end up worshiping at the altar of power, not the altar of the person of Jesus. It's a great danger. You find this in the Old Testament where politically what some kings would do in Israel is they'd go and find other powers to help them to conquer other nations or to defend against nations that were coming against them. And God's response is always the same. This is Old Testament. I understand it's a little different, but God's response is, trust in me. Trust in me and my ways. And as a church, so I think individuals need to be involved in politics. I think we need to be in the world, but not out of the world. I think the church needs to preach Christ and him crucified. I love the reality that our mission is to make disciples. I think when you make disciples, it impacts the world in tremendous ways. So I would say the church doesn't want to take over politics, doesn't want to take a strong stand on politics, but wants to produce people who will.
Right.
And we want to change the world by preaching the gospel, not by becoming political.
Right.
I want to go back to a little bit talking about the fearful age. And in general, when we look ahead to the future, there is uncertainty. We don't know what's in the future. And we can look at verses like you're saying, we know God is in control in the future. Fear not. But it can be difficult to, I think, take action steps in our lives that align with that truth that God is sovereign. And so why are we able to have courage in a fearful age?
I think that's such an important question in times when it's trembling in the world, and we are definitely trembling, although I suppose the world seems to always be trembling. I love the reality that if we truly know the God of the Bible, we can be confident that he holds the future. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Notice that. We will not fear because we know God is with us, very present help. Though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. Stop. Think about this. Meditate on this. I think the better we know God, the power, the care, the love, the tenderness, the wisdom, the more we will be able to rest without anxiety in a world that is so broken. I mean, you think about the early church, Brad. They lived under Roman persecution. Nero, no political power, no political influence. I suppose they started to gain some as people came to know Jesus in Caesar's own household. But they stood firm. They weren't afraid. They knew Christ was Lord and not Caesar. They didn't get engaged in the games of politics. They got enamored with the person of Christ. So I think we need that same mindset. Yeah, pray for our leaders. Yes, engage, vote, participate responsibly. But our passion is for Jesus. And I think one of the great messages for the church in times like this is that we know our security doesn't rest on whoever is our prime minister, or I suppose if we're talking America, whoever is the president. Our security rests in Jesus, in the supremacy of God. And our passion is for the gospel. And yes, this impacts our moral stand on issues, but our passion is not those moral stands. Our passion is the glory of the gospel. And our message is to help people get to know Jesus and then help people live in submission to his rulership or live in his kingdom. And that's how we stand in a shaking world. We know who God is. We know the name of the Lord, his character. And then we have a passion for accomplishing what he desires us to accomplish.
Yeah, what I hear you saying is it's so easy to get distracted in this life. And yes, there are so many important things culturally for us to be involved in as Christians. But if we forget what the main thing is, what our trust and our hope is, and what our passion is, which is Christ and living for him, then we very easily can get off track.
I think so.
So practically, what are our action steps that people can take from this conversation? How should they live, whether they're fearful or they're ready to fight and wanting to engage? What are the ways that people can engage that biblically makes sense?
I think your question is so important because we have left-leaning people and right-leaning people, and a worldly narrative and a flesh that seems to dominate those things, and a demonic realm that dances whenever we lose sight of the glory of God and the greatness of the gospel, or I suppose the person of Jesus. So I think your question is so important for us as a church, for any Christian listening, because the pressures to slip either left or right are so great. So the biblical, you already put this in, so I'm not going to add it into mine, but you said, what's the biblical answer? So obviously a biblical worldview is key to that. I'm going to assume that, Brad, because you gave it to me. I think the first thing is we need to obey God when it comes to addressing things in the world. And the most important way to do that is to pray. Pray constantly. Pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 calls us to do that. Pray for the families of those who are hurting. Pray earnestly. Pray consistently. Join and be a partner of prayer with us in our corporate prayer. We need to be a people who pray constantly and earnestly. Secondly, represent the person of Christ clearly. Most importantly, this means with the gospel. Go to people and use every opportunity you have to share the hope that you have in Jesus. Point people to Jesus. When somebody wants to talk to you about a current situation, Charlie Kirk, anything, when someone wants to engage on those things, certainly listen, certainly love, but use every opportunity to show the increase of Jesus and the decrease of you or anyone else that is being talked about. Speak clearly about Jesus, but also engage on moral conviction areas with conviction and compassion. Be willing with humility to stand firm in holiness and love where the Bible stands firm. So most importantly, be an ambassador for Jesus and the gospel. And in that, be careful and gentle and humble and stand firm where there are moral issues that we should engage in. I suppose that's the overflow. Keep the gospel central. Keep Jesus central is the third thing. So pray earnestly. Point to Jesus clearly. Keep the gospel central in your own life. That will lead to humility because you're preaching the gospel to yourself. But also courage, because you know that Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. You're an ambassador for Christ. You are a part of the family of God. Keep that central. Keep Jesus central in your life. And then fourthly, so pray earnestly, speak clearly, keep the gospel central. Fourthly, make sure that you guide your mind from the Bible, not from what's going on media or mainstream media or the internet or those sorts of things. One of the greatest tragedies for Christians is that what people do is they listen to what's going on in their own little silo, and it causes them to be angry with anyone who disagrees with them from their silo. I think the demonic realm loves that. It creates division, chaos in the church over issues that are at the very least secondary, sometimes not even secondary. We need to be those who have our worldview dominated by the Word of God. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's in the context of the glory of the grace of God in the gospel. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that the demonic realm attacks by causing our thoughts to be disoriented or distracted, I think from Jesus, but also in a number of other ways. And how do we fight against that? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So that constant willingness to be word saturated, to let the word of God dwell in us richly and guide and guard everything that is happening around us. And again, Brad, I just want to warn us, because we are human, our flesh is real, the demonic realm is attacking, and the world tends to try to dominate how we think, left or right. So I want to critique both. Stay fixated on Jesus and make the political hot issues secondary to your passion for Jesus, the gospel, and building the church. And what you'll discover is the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Yeah, that's so important. I think I found in this last week, it's so easy to spend more time looking at the news or just needing to be distracted from this world as opposed to going into the Bible and being reminded of who God is. And when we do that, the chaos is less crazy because we trust in who God is and what he's doing.
I think that's so true. And Brad, I would say what you have just done and what I would encourage everyone listening to this podcast do is, I know the internet wants to evaluate your church based on some political stand, left or right, whether you talked about this or didn't talk about this. When you're evaluating our church, when you're evaluating any church you're a part of, if you're listening to this and you're not a part of Cloverdale Baptist Church, don't do it on the response to political issues. Do it on whether they obey the Bible, whether they preach Christ and Him crucified, whether they stand with John the Baptist and say, may he increase, may we decrease. Do it in a church that doesn't submit cowardly to the world's ways, but stands firm in terms of Christ and Him crucified. So whether you engage politically more or less is substantially secondary to whether you stand for the gospel of Jesus.
Mm. That's great. Well, to close, I pray that this was encouraging. Let's be a church who knows who our God is. Let's be in the Word so that when this world is crazy, we look to our God, we trust in Him, and we look to the Bible to give us our information and to give us our assurance of who God is. Ultimately, we look to Christ, who has defeated death on the cross, and we look forward to the day where death will be no more, and we get to be with our great God and rejoice with Him. We still are in this world, though, and so we need to be those who are an example of who Christ is to those around us, and so we can be bold in the confidence of who God is and what He has done for us to then go out with strength and with ambition to glorify Him with our lives. We will see you guys next time on this podcast.